Ich schlei mach in der Mutter bei Jesse bei Kema bei Kaimer sie arbe sie muss doch this concept of the fact that even though the second half of the month the actual light of the moon is diminishing but the numbers are ever increasing because in terms of because what causes the light to decrease is the fact that the moon is getting ever closer to the sun, which represents the concept of the moon becoming unified with the sun, meaning connecting to a unity which is higher than both of them, which derives from the divine essence. And therefore, even though the light of the moon is getting less, but the revelation of the essence, that which is higher than both the sun and the moon and unifies them, is becoming ever more revealed. So this is emphasized even more in the fullness of the moon of the month of Kislev. Chedesh Kislev, Chedesh Ashlishi B'Chadshi Acherif. Chedesh Kislev is the third month of the winter months. Hamechumim Chedesh Ashlishi B'Chadshi Akayetz, which corresponds to the third month of the summer months. Chedesh D'Matan Teiru Yachet Lisoi, which is the month of Matan Teiru, which is referred to in Chazal as Yachet Lisoi, the third month, counting from this one. Dugmasi B'Chedesh Kislev. And similar as the month of Kislev, Achedish the Matan Teiru Achsidus B'Yutas Kislev, the month of the giving of Matan Teiru of Teiru Achsidus, on the 19th day of Kislev, Shehu Rosh Hashanah Matan Teiru the Teiru Achsidus. That is both the Rosh Hashanah and the Matan Teiru of Teiru Achsidus. Inyan Bozeh Ki Yodua. Shematan Teiru Hu Yeim Chasu Nosei, HaChasun HaNisun HaKadosh Baruch Hu Knesset Yisrael. So what is the special connection between the Matan Teiru, Pnimis HaTeiru, and the Inyan of Skalos HaEtzem? So, the Rebbe explains that in general, we know that the Inyan of Matan Teiru is the Inyan of the marriage, the bond between God and the Jewish people, similar to marriage. Asher aschala b'zei b'eifin, shakadosh baruch hu ha-mashpia, u'knesses Yisrael hi ha-mekabel. That initially, as in every marriage, the way this starts off is that the Eivishter is the mashpia, and the Yidden are the mekabel. In other words, that's what's attracting, the attraction in a marriage. just like in the mashal of marriage, you have two neshamas, two people who are really part of one neshama. The Zohar goes even further and says that each one is half of a body. They're really one entity. What does the Eivishter do? He takes this one entity, splits them in half, sends them each of this to be born and grow up in different homes and different backgrounds, different places with different, each having their own heart and mind and their own thoughts and ideas and interests and so on and so forth. Okay. Now, the question is, and they're supposed to, what are they supposed to do? They're supposed to, even though they are now experiencing themselves as separate entities, they're supposed to reconnect, they're supposed to overcome this separateness and achieve a state of oneness, similar to the state of oneness that they experienced before they were ever separated. However, it's actually a higher unity because it's something that was never separated, so it's one because it never experienced separation. By separating something and reconnecting, it reaches and achieves an even higher state of oneness. In other words, that they have oneness despite the fact that they have been separated and have experienced themselves as separate entities. However, the process through which they're supposed to achieve this oneness is first it goes through what draws them together, what the basis of the external basis of the relationship is, the fact that he has a need to be mashpia and she has a need to be mekabel. That is what draws them, each one, to seek out the other half. The mashpia seeks out a mekabel, and the mekabel is open to being sought out by a mashpia. And that's what attracts them to each other. But the point is not that they should ultimately spend the rest of their life in a mashpia mekabel relationship. The point is that through the process of mashpia mekabel, they should achieve a state of oneness which transcends the whole issue of mashpia mekabel. The mashpia mekabel relationship is a means, is a way of connecting two separate entities, but ultimately the point is that they're supposed to, through connecting as separate entities, they're supposed to ultimately achieve a unity, which is to experience total oneness, at which point there is no Mashpia, there is no Mekabel, but rather total equality. Which is why Pnimius HaInyanim, the movement in the world for equality, is Pnimius HaInyanim is exactly according to plan. And it's right and proper and correct. The problem is that, as everything else that comes in the world through the form of, that comes from Klipa, which mimics Kedusha, but distorts it, is that the call for equality is a call for less bittle, not more bittle. In other words, the point is the total oneness that the true ability for husband and wife to achieve that total state of oneness really comes from the fact that they're both totally bottled to the Eivishta. The fact they're both totally bottled to the Eivishta, and so the Gabi Eivishta, everything is equal. Mashpia Mekabel is only a means to achieving this higher state of oneness, which could only be achieved by being through that total bittul to the Eivishta, which is higher than both of them. So when the rest of the world is running around talking about equality, they're talking about equality in terms of not being bottled. Equality in terms of being less bottled and equality which is intended to separate, which is why those who are more strident in their calls for equality are less likely to be involved in a relationship or in any kind of healthy relationship, because they can't relate outside themselves. They're so involved with themselves that they can't relate. The idea is also ultimately that the roles of Mashpia and Mekabel are not meant to be permanent, eternal roles. The role of the Levana as the Mekabel is not meant to be permanent, it's a temporary role. And similarly, in the whole concept in Ish V'Isha, and Asher and Ani, all these roles of Mashpia and Mekabel that exist in the world are not meant to remain that way. They're meant to ultimately achieve a state where everything is, where through the revelation of the divine essence, the Gabi, the essence, everything is equal. And the whole Mashpia Mekabel state was only a means to initiate a process of unification within a world of separation. Since this one has the need to be Mashpia, that one has the need to be Mekabel, it is their needs that bring them together. But ultimately, they're supposed to achieve a togetherness which transcends their needs, which is not based on needs, but based on transcending one's needs, and being totally bought to the Eivishta, at which point they are both equally an expression of the Eivishta's divinity. So similarly in the relationship, but this is all a reflection of the relationship between the Eivishta and the Jewish people themselves, that's similarly in the relationship between the Eivishta and the Jewish people. Originally, the Jew is part of God. Then God separates, as it were, these parts from himself, but not, and they have to go through a whole process of reconnecting. So the means through which they reconnect are means through which any relationship is built between strangers. But the fact is, it's not a relationship between strangers. We build this relationship in order to reveal and uncover the fact that really all along we were all one. So we're not trying to achieve ultimately a new state in our relationship. What we're trying to achieve with the Eivishta is through this process of connecting to the Eivishta through Torah, Mitzvahs, and so on. What we're ultimately trying to achieve is the revelation of the fact that the Jew and the Eivishta are connected in a way that transcends the Torah and Mitzvahs themselves. But actually, they're all one. And the Chiddush, what the Eivishta, the whole process of creation and Dirva Tachtenim, is that there should be the oneness despite the separation. In other words, that the oneness is such total oneness that even separation is not a contradiction to that oneness. In other words, there can still be a separate existence of a Jew and the Eivishta, and yet they're all one.
In marriage, can you bring it down to earth, the whole oneness? Like, what's an example?
Not for now. It's a whole topic unto itself, and it has been dealt with on a different occasion. We're interested. We'll be able to make the tapes available in the near future, but it's a whole topic unto itself. Tavas Hashleimus was a Yigush HaKadosh Baruch Hu Knesset Yisrael Nasim Chad Mamash Kevayoch. So this whole process of Mashpiyah Mekabel relationship between the Jewish and the Jewish people is not the ultimate marriage, it's not the ultimate relationship. The ultimate connection at Matan Torah, it was Mashpiyah Mekabel. But the ultimate is when it's revealed that they're absolutely one. So Knesset Yisrael Eina Tzricha Kevayoch Lekabel Mekadosh Baruch Hu Kivin Shemizgala Sheyisrael Vekadosh Baruch Hu Kulachad. That the Jewish people, or Knesset Yisrael, Jewish people, the actual physical Jewish people, and its root in the spiritual realms, its source in the spiritual realms, which is Sefiras HaMalchus, also known as Knesset Yisrael, is not in a position where it's a mekabel from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kevin Shemizgala Sheyisrael V'Kud Shebrichu Kulacha. It's rather, it is ultimately revealed that Yisrael and Kud Shebrichu is Kulacha, that the Jew and the Eivish are all one. In Sefiras, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu that generally refers to the Sefiras of also known as Zoh, the six emotional faculties, and Knesset Yisrael refers to Malchus. So Chassidus talks about the fact that that man and woman were originally created connected, but back to back. And the Chassidus describes the purpose of the separation is so that they can reconnect, but face to face instead of back to back, which basically describes the physical course of events was that they that first they were physically connected back to back, then they became separated, and then they connect physically face to face. But that's what really is going on is a spiritual process in which the emotional faculties and the means of expression are definitely, generally speaking, they originally come created back to back. Without going into the whole long Kabbalistic dissertation on what exactly that means, but the ultimate point is that ultimately, that the spheres, that the relationship between Malchus and the other spheres, the Malchus is of Mekabel. From the other spheres. The ultimate point is that ultimately Zach and the Keva should be side by side, face to face, meaning that it should be revealed that the characteristics of Mashpia and side the characteristics of Mekabel are all equally an expression of the Evishta. And ultimately, there is not one which is higher than the other or one which is dependent on the other. But ultimately, they're both equally an expression of God.
What does it mean when you say that Kodesh Baruch Hu and the Jewish people are Kul Echad? I just have no mental image at all.
I can't offer you a mental image because it's not something which mental imagery is going to help you. It's basically it's just what the words say. I mean, a Jew and the Eivishta are all one. There is the whole. And Chassidus explains, you have to realize that Chassidus explains the whole concept of creation. That creation of separate entities exists only and entirely from our perspective. God's perspective, there is nothing else but Him. Even after creation. Even after creation has a true reality, there still exists nothing outside of Him, from His perspective. So the fact that we're all one is from His perspective, was always that way. The thing is that from our perspective of reality, we perceive ourselves as separate. And the world that we're in, and we ourselves perceive ourselves as separate. But that doesn't alter the reality. The chiddush of Dirat Tachtenim is that even though in order for us to exist as separate entities, we have to perceive ourselves as such. Otherwise, if we were aware of our true reality, then we would become totally bottled, lose our existence, so to speak. The chiddush of Lasad Lavi is that it'll be both. You'll be able to see the reality from God's perspective. That Jew and God are really all one. And the only thing is, and at the same time, you'll be able to contain that perspective and still exist.
Yeah, but that explanation doesn't bring out anything special about the Jewish people, though.
So the question you're asking is a different question. If there is nothing outside of God, then why are you saying that Jewish people and God are one more than that anything else in God are one? The answer is, it's true. There is nothing about the Jewish people that makes them more one with God than anything else. The thing is that the Jewish people are the purpose. The only sense in which we could say the Jewish people are more one with God than everyone and anything else is that God chose to express his oneness into all those other things only for the sake of the Jewish people.
But we say God chose to express his oneness. The reality is that God was one, and he chose to express a concept of separateness.
Right, right. Now, but that separateness that he chose to express was only in order that this apparently separate entity should one day recognize his oneness. Should one day be a vessel to express and reveal his oneness. So when we say that the Jewish people and Israel are all one, as opposed to everything else in creation, what we mean is that the true vehicle for God's oneness is the Jewish people. So even though ultimately everything in the world will express that oneness, but first of all, the expression of that oneness is only through the Jewish people, that everything else in the world became a vessel to express that oneness, and also for the sake of the Jewish people. It is only for the sake of the Jewish people that God made this, all these other creations which will ultimately express his oneness. So therefore, technically, there is nothing that's more one with God than anything else. Okay? Conceptually, it is the Jewish people who are truly one with God, and everything else is technically one with God.
Being slept the way I want.
But the fact is, nothing exists outside of God. This is a very delicate concept
from God's perspective.
This Maimon is that. I mean, this is the thing, key where everyone's breaking their heads. In other words, once you get to the essence, from the perspective of the essence, everything is God. So then, like, what's the Jewish people and what's the difference between a Jew and an apple? This is the point, and the answer is technically none. Conceptually, I mean, in other words, since it is the ultimate purpose of the whole process is this, so therefore, they are in a sense the recipients, and therefore ultimately more, conceptually more of a vessel, this truth and this reality than anything else.
It's just the expression that Kofar who in Israel Kuvrachad, that expression Kuvrachad. Yeah. Implies that it's somehow more one than other things. That
I don't know the question. It's more. Kol echad means they're all one.
Entirely.
All means, despite the fact that they're separate entities, they're still really one.
As opposed to something which isn't quite entirely
becoming blurred into and losing their own separate existence, despite the fact that they all have a separate existence. It actually says Yisrael Eraisu. So all of them are all one. Okay. Umenumis gam bechedesh ha-shlishi. This concept that Chedesh Kislev represents, that Chedesh Kislev is the month that represents the relationship between the Jewish people and the Eibushter, going from a mashpia mekabel relationship to a relationship in which it's revealed that in essence they are all one. Is alluded to in the fact that it's called the third month. That alludes to the connecting, the bonding, and unification of the higher reality, which is expressed by the number one, and the lowly worldly reality, which is expressed by the number two, which is the concept of plurality and diversity. Through the number three, they become unified and connected. As the Rebbe explained earlier in one of the Tzitzitav and Aleph, that's all the different threes that are connected to Matan Torah is because of this concept. So It comes out that the filling out and the completeness of the moon on the 14th and 15th of the third month, the month of Matan Torah, the day of his marriage, Nasis Tachlis Hashlemis Anasun Nekesh Baruch Hu Knesset Yisrael, Vayir Alvonik Erechamash Alvonik Knesset Yisrael, and Tzirich Mekal Meyachama Kadosh Baruch Hu Shem Shabaye, Kim Shanaz Ba'atzmi Kim Meyachama, Vizel Yin Yisrael Uvanam Kadosh Baruch Hu Chama Kulachan. That it comes the ultimate that it's on this day in the month of the wedding between God and the Jewish people, on the day that the moon reaches its fullest, that it says that the Levana has received everything it can and now it's ready to become completely one with and the same like the moon, which is the Inyan of Yisrael v'Kodesh Baruch Hu Kulachan. Ba'emek Yesa. Mudgish inyan zeh ba'kayim esiyarev ba'ashlemusa d'chedesh kisrev, chedesh ha'shlish d'chadshi ha'cherev, Yesa mi b'chedesh sivan, chedesh shlish d'chadshi ha'kayitz. This explanation that we gave till now would seem to be equally appropriate for both Sivan, which is the month of Matan Torah of the revealed Torah, and Kisrev, which is the month of Matan Torah of Panimus HaTorah. The Rebbe says that really on a deeper level it's even more emphasized in the fullness of the moon in the month of Kislev, more than the third of the winter months, more than the month of Sivan, which is the third of the summer months. What's the difference between the summer months and the winter months? So b'chad she'akayitz meir eir v'chayim Hashem v'shchama b'tegif b'gila yeisim ha'ashe b'chad she'akayitz. That in the summer months, the light and the heat of the moon is much stronger and much more revealed than in the winter months. She'akayitz is man ha'chayim. Because kayitz, summer is the time of heat. V'ayomim v'yikra l'kim l'aryeim aruchim y'alaylas. And the days are longer than the night. V'cherif is man ha'ker. Winter is the time of cold, and the nights are longer than the days. At least in the main and essence of all countries, lands, which is the Holy Land. What does this mean in Avedas Hashem? That the summer months is the emphasis is on the revelation from above. So spiritually, that means an aveda of milmaila lamata, where a Jew is primarily responding to and trying to work with inspiration from above. Whereas in the winter months, where the night is longer than the day, there is less revelation from above. Emphasizes the avodah of the Jewish people, milmata lamayla, trying to develop one's own inner inspiration and one's own inner commitment and service of Hashem. Lachim v'kayim esiyarev ashlemus d'chedesh ha'shlish v'chad she'akayitz. Kimon she'ikri mitzad ha'gilu d'shem ha'shavai v'lei, kol kach mitzad ha'vidosim shal Yisrael levon, ha'nikra adayin ha'chilik d'mashpia chama m'kabel levon. Meil ha'reiz adayin shalem esav levon, k'nisha m'kabel s'menacham. So therefore, on the full moon of the third of the summer months, since the emphasis, since the luminary who's playing the primary role in the summer months is the sun, so the emphasis is on the sun in the role of Mashpia. And the moon is only a Mekavel, because the moon serves less of the time. The sun is the primary luminary of the summer months. And therefore, even though when you achieve the full moon in that month, but its fullness is still diminished in relative to the sun. The emphasis is still on the role that the sun plays. Since in the months of Sivan the emphasis is on the main role is played by the Levana, so when the emphasis is on the Mitzad HaMekabel, it comes out that the Ikka, this expresses the idea that the relationship has transcended the classical relationship of Mashpia and Mekabel. Classic relationship of Mashpia and Mekabel is that the Mashpia provides and the Mekabel works with the resources that the Mashpia provides. Right, like the Gemara says, one person asked, "What is he? What, you know, like, what should he be grateful to his wife for?" And the other one answered him that what he need a wife for. So the other one answered him, "Does a person chew wheat? The husband brings home the wheat, and the wife grinds it and mixes it with water and bakes it and serves it as bread." In other words, so the classical role of Mashpia Mekabel is the Mashpia is providing the raw material, the resources. And the Mekabel takes the raw material and resources and develops them. So that is so similarly, that's primarily spiritually the Avodah in the summer months. Why the sun is primary and the moon is secondary. Whereas in the winter months, the emphasis is on Avodah Mumata L'mayla. Avodah Mumata L'mayla is that the Mekabel does not wait until the Mashpia provides the resources and takes those resources and develop it. But rather, the Mekabel takes the initiative. The Mekabel does not wait until the Mashpia takes the initiative. Rather, the Mekabel takes the initiative to not only develop the materials, but to actually to acquire them. It's not only to take an inspiration from above. Okay, sometimes a person wakes up in the morning, you wake up, you're inspired. That didn't come through your effort. You woke up that way, inspired. Now your job is to take that inspiration and use it. Put it to good use, right? Then there's times where a person is decidedly uninspired and he works on himself. He doesn't wait until inspiration comes along. He says, "Listen, I'll wait till the next time I'm inspired, then I'll do something positive." He starts working on himself spiritually to do, and he forces himself to do even uninspired. And in that way, he generates his own inner source of inspiration and motivation. So spiritually, it means taking the initiative and not waiting for inspiration from above, not waiting for resources from above, but to go out and figure out how to do on your own. Which is when you look at the Sikha of Chav Ches Nissen, for example. So what the Rebbe is telling you is that I've done all that I can in terms of providing resources, and now it's up to you. Now you have to develop the existing resources, and if you feel that there's more, then you have to take initiative. You can't sit around and be passive waiting recipients for my bounties and blessings, and what you have to take the initiative. And taking the initiative means, when somebody takes the initiative, it means that they're committed to seeing. Initiative requires two things. First is the commitment to see to it that the job gets done. And the second thing is to come up with ideas on how to do it. If you're really taking initiative, if you're not taking the initiative, you say, "Listen, if someone else will give me an idea." When I'm not taking the initiative, so these two things are things which I don't have to have. Commitment to the goal. If I'm working for someone else, my boss has to have the commitment. And if he needs, it's my boss that has to have the commitment. And he just has to hire enough workers or whatever it takes to do the job. But he's the one that has the commitment. I just do what I get paid for. Okay? If it's my own concern, my own issue, and I'm taking the initiative, then I have to also have the commitment to see it through, to see that it succeeds. Because it's my initiative. The second thing is, the second quality of taking your own initiative is that if I'm working for someone else, I don't have to generate new ideas. Okay? I just do the legwork. The other person is the one who I'm working for is the one that provides the vision and the direction and what to do and how to do it, and I'm the one who has to carry it out. But when it's my own initiative, then it's not enough for me to just sit and wait around and say, "Well, when someone gives me an idea, then I'll implement it." When it's my initiative, I got to come up with ideas too. And that's why the Rebbe speaks out in that Sikha, these two issues, that there has to be akshanus. There has to be, the Rebbe says, there should be 10 people that will action Zechayim, that will have the stubbornness to see it through. There has to be that commitment that if it's my initiative, then I'm going to see through it that it gets done. I'm going to see it through. And the Rebbe said also that there should be people, three or even one, that come up with the idea how to do. If it's your initiative, then part of it being your initiative is that you have to come up with your own ideas. And that was in the Sikha of Chayasara that I've explained. the concept of a shliach. That I'll explain the concept of a shliach is, on the one hand, he's totally, he's a metzias, he has to be a Jew, he has to be a bardas, he has to be over 13, he has to have, he has to have an intelligence, he has to be his own independent being, and at the same time, he has to be totally bottled to the mashalach. Okay, and the mashalach has to give him all the resources that the mashalach has, but now, after he has all the resources, the shliach not only has to develop those resources, but the shliach even has to go beyond that and develop initiatives of his own. He uses his own mind, not wait until he gets a specific order or a directive. He has to use his own initiative. As you see by Eliezer, he took the initiative. He didn't just, you have to be able to take the initiative. So, on Aveda Mumato, my lady, the emphasis when the Mikabel is taking the initiative. So it shows that it's not a relationship where one side is giving and the other side is, one side is providing the resources and the other side is only developing those resources. In other words, one is the giver and one is the receiver. When the Mekabel is taking the initiative, so there's no difference, so there's no Mashpia, there's no Mekabel. The Mekabel has transcended its own limitations as a Mekabel and has become an initiator rather than just a passive, receptive being, but has become, it has transcended its own passivity and receptiveness and become an active, aggressive initiator. So this, Avodah Milmata L'mayla, Dafka brings out this inyan of the connection of a yid in between the Eivish and the way of Kulacha. And that's the big mistake that a lot of people make. That people think that, the Rebbe said a sikha in Purim Tavshim Mem Zayin, the Rebbe said a whole sikha, where he spoke about how come there wasn't such an emphasis in earlier generations on each individual's role in bringing the Geula. And even though the Rambam wrote the Halacha, that every person should see his one action as the whole world hanging in the balance and his whole one action could tip the scale, that Halacha was written many hundreds of years ago, yet you don't find Gedel Yisrael should make such a big shturm about that Halacha. Like it's being made nowadays. It was like the Rebbe himself is making. A tremendous storm that every person has to see his every action as the whole world hanging in the balance and it's up to him. So the Rebbe gave an answer and the Rebbe said that in earlier generations, mitzad the bittel to the Rebbe, there was a greater bittel to the Rebbe. And therefore the Chassidim, they mainly had to focus on doing what they were told to do. And what's going to be with the final goal, that was the Rebbe's concern. Their relationship with that Rebbe was such that they didn't have to involve themselves with what's the ultimate purpose, what's the ultimate goal. They had to devote themselves to carrying out the Rebbe's directives. And the Rebbe will take care of whatever has to be taken care of. This is Mashenki nowadays, where we don't have that kind of bittel to the Rebbe. Therefore, now it's up to each person on their own. So there are people who looked at it, at that sikha, through very shallow eyes, and they looked at it, they said, oh, look, the reason why the Rebbe said, I'm giving it up to you, you know why the Rebbe said, I'm giving it up to you? Because we're not bittel enough to the Rebbe. If the emphasis become bittel to the Rebbe, then the Rebbe would take care of it himself. So therefore, there were certain people who were tining, instead of running around and screaming, Mashiach, Mashiach, and Yechiyah Adonenu, and instead of running around screaming Mashiach, we should all make a concentrated effort to do Aveda Panimus and become more bittel to the Rebbe. And if we'll be more bittel to the Rebbe, then the Rebbe will take care of it. Therefore, they tried. You see, from this, the Rebbe is saying, you see, from using this sikha to say that it's not a responsibility of each and every Jew to bring the Geula, to take their own initiative. And they wanted to use this sikha and turn it around and say, listen, the Rebbe is saying that the whole problem, the reason why it's up to us, is because we're not brought to the Rebbe enough. So let's put the emphasis on being brought to the Rebbe. And then we'll solve our problems. The Rebbe will take it. But they missed the boat. The whole word is that the whole word is that B'chitzenius, there's a chassan that we're not bottling up to the Rebbe. But Panemius, this creates us an opportunity to have an even higher bittul. The bittul of Kulachat. The bittul of not only subverting, subordinating my personality to the Rebbe. You know, it's being mavat, nullifying myself. But to actually take my whole personality with its all of its drives and initiatives and ideas and give it as is to the Rebbe. In other words, instead of being a passive, receptive mekabel, to become an initiator, to become a leader, to become an initiator, to become a mashpia in one's own right, and all of that should be an expression of bittul to the Rebbe. So it created a possibility. The chetzenis take a lack of bittul, created an opportunity for a more atzmusdika kind of connection, a more atzmusdika kind of bittul, which is not to be mevatel my mitzias, to become ice mitzias, to stop being a mitzias, but to give my whole to keep my mitzias and give my whole mitzias over to the Rebbe Azus, which the Rebbe describes in the Sikha as the bittul of a shliach to the mishaleach. It's not that he's not a mitzias. In fact, he has to be a Matzias in order to be a Shliach. He has to be a Baidas. He has to have his own independent mind. He has to be a Matzias. And yet, he could achieve a much higher bittul. A bittul in which the Mashalech gives him everything gives him all of his possessions, everything he owns, gives him all his resources. And the Shliach, in turn, can accomplish things for the Mashalech that the Mashalech is not doing himself. In other words, that the Shliach has something to give to the Mashalech. So the Rebbe is saying, what the Rebbe is saying is that through the fact that we're on a lower level spiritually, and therefore we're less spiritually receptive to spiritual bittul. It's as he said in the Sikha Vayetzeh, and this is really a continuation. This Sikha is really a continuation of that. That Shakeh Dafka, through being lower spiritually, we have the capacity to connect on a higher level, which is the level of Etzem. The level of us, because we're spiritually deadened, and there is no real difference between our heads and our feet, so we're able to utilize that as a springboard to achieve a higher level of bittul, a bittul which is your mitzvah rather than a bittul which breaks your mitzvah. This idea. That the person is a mitzvah, but his whole mitzvah is totally connected to the Eibishter. That's the idea of v'hoy er al chamak er al avon. That there's only mashpiyim, there's no mekabel. There's two mashpiyim, no mekabel. There's no mekabel anymore. How could there exist two mashpiyim? That's a contradiction in terms. Because we've tapped into this higher unity. The unity of essence, that from the point of essence, everything is nothing more, exists only to express the essence. So really, the whole idea of mekabel, of aveda mumata l'mayim, of the aveda of taking the initiative, developing your own resources, developing your own drive, your own ideas, your own concepts, that's not, bespeaks a higher connection, a deeper connection, a higher unity. Obviously, if it has to derive from bittul, if it comes from the fact that you think you're your own big shot, wants to have my own ideas, I don't need to have that's rebellion. That's not a higher unity. That's there's women's liberation and there's Hasidim's liberation movement. So the Chassid thinks that he has his own ideas, he has his own way of doing things, and he thinks that, you know, the Rebbe should have done it this way or that way, and he thinks his way is better, and so that's already smacks of rebelliousness, of trying to get out from under. But the Chassid says, listen, I'm a big mitzvah. Okay, I'm a big mitzvah, but you know what? I'm going to take this big mitzvah and use it for the Rebbe. So when he takes, when he says that, and he Taka does it, and he comes up with ideas and insights and activities, and he develops resources and initiatives and programs and projects. So Adrav, that's the Tachas, that's what the Rebbe wants. That the Chassid should be so totally identified with the Rebbe and the Rebbe's mission and the Rebbe's work and the way the Rebbe sees the world, that's what he makes that his whole life. That's his life. And so therefore, the month of Kislev, which is the month of the revelation of Pnimius HaTeva, the month of the emphasis on Aveda Mumata L'mayim, where the moon is primary, the sun is hidden, the sun is less manifest, the emphasis is on the moon. So when the moon, the full moon in the month of Kislev emphasizes more this Indian that the Mekabel himself, the Mekabel himself becomes like the Mashpia. The Yeshla is. Shein ze merum is gam ba Hashem Kislev, shmei miyuchat shel chedesh ha-shlishi du chedesh ha-chad she-achir. This is also alluded to in the name Kislev, which is the special, this designated name for the third month of the winter months. Kislev Kislev Beis HaTev is Kes Loi. It includes two words, the word Kes and the word Loi Lamed Vav. Kes Milashon Kisui Helam V'Loi Shem Espari Lamed Vav Agamati De'elu Meir Al Agili Shisha Pam Shisha. Kes, which is from the root of the word Kisui, which means covering or concealment, and Loi, which is the numerical value is Lamed Vav, which is the gematria of Ela, which Ela symbolizes, the literal meaning of the word Ela is these, you can only refer to these when you're talking about something that's revealed. Only something which is visible, because you say these, there's nothing there. If you're talking about something that's not present, that's covered, you can't refer to these. And similarly, the numerical value of 36 represents the fact that the emotional faculties are of the faculties that exist are for the sake of expressing, of relating outside of oneself. Emoting means relating to something outside of yourself, and therefore it's connected to the concept of revelation, and 6 times 6 is the ultimate, is the full range of emotional expression, and therefore represents the ultimate in revelation. And the connection of these two words into one word, Kislev mer al chibur ha-helem v'agilui, alludes to the connecting of concealment and revelation. Heinu she'etzem shubehelem etzem mekabel b'bizgalos. In other words, the essence, which relative to the recipient is concealed, it comes to be revealed from case. That which is by definition previously concealed becomes lev lamed vav becomes revealed. Kim she'etzem be'evim shel mashpiyim mekabel be'evim she'nasim chad mamish kanal sefer. Why is this accomplished? Because it is no longer in the man of Mashpia and Mekabel. In order for there to be a Mashpia and Mekabel relationship, the Mashpia has to have something that the Mekabel doesn't. That's the whole premise of the relationship, right? In order for a wealthy person to be the giver and the poor person to be the receiver, the wealthy person has to have something that the poor person doesn't have. Which is wealth. If he gives him, if the poor person becomes wealthy, goes out and he takes the initiative and he goes to work and he builds up what he becomes, there's nothing to give. Okay, so the concept is, so the whole basis of the Mashpia relationship is the fact that there's something which the Mashpia has that is concealed from the Mikal. Because once it's revealed and made accessible, then there's no longer Mashpia. Well, as the philosopher said, that Ilu Yadaitiv Hayisu. So when they asked to that he says in order to relate to the Eivishu, the first basic premise you have to realize is if I would know him, I would be him. In other words, since what he's saying is that since God is truly infinite, if I could grasp infinity, I would be infinite. Chassidus came along and Chassidus said that Chassidus accomplished, what did Alter Rebbe accomplish? Alter Rebbe accomplished Yadaitiv Hayisuf. that finite beings could grasp infinite godliness. And that could be, godly. So the ultimate of that is, in other words, the ultimate is that once a person, we go through that process, the mountain Torah, Panimis HaTorah, and we go through that process, B'Shleimus, and the person in the world has ultimately become the Keli, to receive the revelation of infinite godliness, so then there's no longer Mashpia Mekabel. Yedaiti Ve'Yisuv. I know him, I am him. There's nothing left to be, the whole premise of Mashpia Mekabel is based on the fact that anything that the Mekabel is getting from the Mashpia is only external. But there's some essential core that the Mekabel isn't getting. Once the Mekabel gets the essence, there's no Mekabel in Mashpia anymore. So Kislev is the Indian that which in relative to the Mekabel is concealed becomes revealed. The revelation of Pnimius HaTorah. That which was previously concealed from the Mekabel becomes revealed. And it becomes revealed, so the Mekabel now achieves the status. There's no longer Mekabel. It's also, that's on the one hand. It's also on the other hand, it's through the Mekabel achieving that status that it's revealed. In other words, through the fact that the Mekabel does the Aveda, an Eifen of Mamata Lamayla, an Eifen of taking the initiative of, and it's Dafka through the Dafka, the Pnimius HaTorah and the Derech of Chabad. In other words, the revelation of Pnimius HaTorah by the Baal Shem Tov is also a revelation of Pnimius HaTorah. We don't call that the Matan Torah of Pnimius HaTorah. The Matan Torah of Pnimius HaTorah we call Yutas Kislev. Because that not only that it was brought down even of Avon of Asagva and even of Chabad, that the Mekabel himself has to do the work. It's not just Mashpia Mekabel. By the Baal Shem Tov, the Baal Shem Tov brought down tremendous revelations. But the Mekabel ordinary person was not a Keli for that. Only tremendously great tzaddikim could actually appreciate what the Baal Shem Tov was teaching. And the ordinary person got something trickled down to the ordinary person. But the essence of the Baal Shem Tov's teaching was something that was not accessible to all. Because